Before I start, I'd just like to say thank you for choosing that hymn this morning. Thank you for playing that hymn this morning. As I start to lose my singing voice, it was one of my favorite solos.
Amen.
The first scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzzah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." The second reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. "So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put death, if you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption, when we cry, 'Abba, Father.' It is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him."
Friends, let me tell you how good it is to be back with you once again. Every time I drive up to the Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church and walk into the sanctuary, I feel as though I'm coming home. So it's good to be with you at this time of worship. Yes. Oh, you're so kind. These are my relatives back here who are clapping. Please pray with me. Great God, we thank you for this moment where we can enter into this time where we are just reflecting upon your word. And we pray that the meditations of our heart and the words of our mouths, that these may always be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Great God, we give you thanks for this day, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Friends, in our reading of the scriptural narrative, we should resist the temptation to fall prey to the trap of sanitizing the text. You're saying, what is he meaning? Sanitizing the text. You see, there are times when we contemporary folk prefer to imagine the stories of the Bible as being paintings upon canvas or stained glass windows that are so clear, so pure. Or we like to think of them as being like frescoes on an ancient cathedral. It may come across as inspirational to envision biblical characters adorned with their clean garments and their flowing hair, which I do not have anymore. Peering at the faces of our artistic characters, we see determination and confidence throughout all their persona, and we like to think that they were driven with conviction, fully assured of the purpose of their calling. And why is it that we are indeed choosing to view people in such a way? Well, maybe it is because we have been so influenced by masters of the Renaissance, such as Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci, who have indeed given us those renderings which are so dramatic. They have left an indelible imprint on us. And maybe it is simply because we like to view these biblical characters as being heroes of our faith. And let's face it, my friends, we need heroes in our lives to guide us, do we not? Let me hear an amen.
Amen.
Do we need heroes? Say yes or no.
Yes.
There we go. We're awake here in Glenshaw Valley. But as we get behind the actual stories of the Bible, we see that there's so much earthiness that's there. See, life is messy. And we like to, you know, we know our lives are messy, but things were messy back then. And I think if we understand that life has always been messy, then we can understand that the Bible can speak to us in our messiness. You know what I'm talking about today? You see, the images which are presented in Isaiah 6th chapter, they may appear to be like those from a fantasy, like the Avengers movies. You know how folks like those Avengers movies? Those movies, Clash of the Titans, all kind of images on the screen. My wife loves to go see those type of movies. Now, I like to go see the movies for another reason. I like popcorn. And some of these new theaters, you know what I'm talking about? They have these reclining chairs. It gets all comfortable. They turn the lights out. You know what I do? I fall asleep. I'm a happy man. And then I wake up when it gets too loud. Sometimes I wake up with the final credits just rolling down. But that's okay. That's fine with me. But we return to our scripture. I can go on. I'm a preacher, right? I can just go on and on. But we need to understand with the messiness of everything that the betrayal of the heavenly temple is gripping poetry. Yes, its words can be indeed exciting for us to read nowadays. But know that its words were terrifying for the people of ancient days even to contemplate. You see, scholars tell us that Isaiah was a priest, that he was from a priestly family. But we need to understand for the people of that culture in that ancient time and within their literature and within their beliefs that they thought that they would indeed die if they were ever to see God, to even utter God's name. And here was Isaiah. Isaiah was witnessing a scene from the heavenly throne room where holy God was sitting high and elevated in all of God's splendor, surrounded by the awesome and impressive attendants that were there taking care of the divine. Isaiah, who was essentially an earthly intruder into that scene, observed these seraphim, these winged angels, these winged messengers. They were there, and it's a scene that may seem like fun to our contemporary minds, but it was not so for our friends of old. They would have said, "What am I doing here?" and we add to this drama an understanding of the historical context of the day, and we have a very sobering backdrop, because you have to understand that the nation of Israel was about to be overrun by a foreign power known as Assyria, the empire in that area of that day, and it was not a good time to be there advising the king. Now, as you know, I am the Dean of Student Life at Princeton Theological Seminary, one of our Presbyterian seminaries. And one of the functions of my office is to help graduating students find placements as pastors and with other church-related positions. I am often asked upon to help a student read a particular mission information form. You know, the church information forms like you all are dealing with right now as you look for a pastor. And I must admit, when I was reading the text in preparation for today, that I paused to imagine the position description for this particular prophet in his time. Help wanted. Help wanted. Come on, use your imagination. Brave person needed to both confront the king on the sins of the nation and to confront the king about his own sins. This person is called upon to offer advice. This person must be willing to tell the truth that the nation will fall under the rule of another nation. Requirements. You know how you always have to have those requirements and position descriptions, right? Must have thick skin. Must have strong knees, because they'll need to pray a lot. Must have some serious faith. Possibility of success, to be discussed. Probability of keeping one's life, minimal. Pay, not that good. Benefits, to be determined, perhaps in the afterlife. Supervisor, Yahweh, the Lord God of Israel. Email your application to sayyestogod.com. Now, how many people you think would run to apply for such a job? Now, every one of the prophets of the Old Testament had similar position descriptions. True, each of them had their own unique set of circumstances, but not one of them faced an easy task. It is little wonder that so many of them were looking to avoid this calling, and a number of them had some very memorable excuses. Think about what you have read in the scriptures. Jeremiah, he said, oh Lord God, I don't know how to speak yet, because I am just a child. Perhaps you can go find somebody else. How about Moses? Moses says, I am slow of tongue. You know, you can find somebody else. Isaiah said, oh, woe is me, because I am a man of unclean lips. Maybe you can go find somebody else. And who could blame them for looking to avoid the enormity of these tasks facing them? But we should never lose sight that there was so much that was driving these women and men of faith, making them, yes, I dare I say it, heroes for all of us. Heroes for all of us. On this Memorial Day holiday weekend, with the few moments that I have left, I would like for us to reflect upon the marks of a hero. What is it about heroes that make them unique? So I just took the liberty to jot down some of these marks, some of these notes. I know you may have some more. Next week's sermon, you could do some. You could do some of your own thing then. But I'd like to present some of the marks of the hero as I was reflecting upon them. First, I would present that heroes have to understand the chain of command. How many people out here have been in the military? There we go. You have to have, how many, raise your hands high, come on. There's a couple. There we go. You understand the chain of command, right? Any soldier, any sailor, any Marine, any airman or corpsman, they have to understand the chain of command. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
But it's not just reserved for the military. All of us have a chain of command within any organization. It's important for us to understand who's in charge of families. I know who was in charge of my family. She's sitting right there. And she ran a dictatorship. We need to know who provides guidance, who gives orders. Isaiah, and in fact, all of the prophets were clearly aware that they were called by God. They knew that they were not on a mission of their own making. As Isaiah was in the vision of the heavenly temple, he heard the voice of the Lord ask, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" You see, Isaiah and all of the prophets and all of the faithful throughout all the ages have to understand that God is in charge. With a young folks' language, we say that God has their back. Now, God just doesn't have the back, it has the side and the front. God has you all around. So that's one mark of a hero. You have to know who's in charge. A second mark is that the person who has been lifted up as a hero has to understand that there is that sense of sacrifice that they have been called to give. Perhaps you have seen that commercial for the U.S. Marines, "Toward the Sound of Chaos." I know you watch some TV, you've probably seen it. It's a recruiting piece during which the Marines are told that they are moving towards the sounds of tyranny, injustice, and despair with the courage and resolve to silence them, while showing Marines in their gear. Thank you. I knew someone was listening. In their battle gear, running, not walking, towards the enemy, across the desert, towards a smoke-filled terrain. They knew that there was danger ahead. They did not know totally what they were confronting, but they knew that there was danger there. One of my favorite movies is entitled Glory. Glory came out about 30 years ago. It stars Matthew Broderick as Colonel Robert Gould Shaw, a young white commanding officer who led an all-black regiment called the 54th Massachusetts through several battles of the Civil War, specifically in South Carolina. It also starred Denzel Washington as Private Tripp and Morgan Freeman as well. In a very powerful scene, the regiment makes a full frontal assault on Fort Wagner, and in the midst of the battle, nearly one half of the regiment lost their lives, including Colonel Shaw, including Denzel Washington's character. And we are informed through the final script that the fort was never taken by the Union Army in that battle. But we know who won the war. Friends, it is totally appropriate that we as a nation pause to honor those individuals and families who have given the sacrifices to service of their country. Each of us owe them a debt. Now, earlier I asked those persons who have been in the military to raise their hands. How many of us have had family members who have been in the military? Raise your hand. That's quite a few of us. It's appropriate that we pause to honor them. Each of us owe them a debt. Yet in this worship space, we give all glory to God, to our God who has given us the gift of the Son and who paid the price of our sin. Those of us in the service to the Prince of Peace must be willing to give sacrificially, sacrificially in service as well. So the first mark that I've lifted up, the chain of the command. The second, the sacrificial giving. The third mark of a hero is that she or he must have the faith to respond to the call that has been placed upon their heart. You have to believe in that to which you are called. In the Isaiah passage, the climactic line is when Isaiah responds by saying, "Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me." You see, my friends, we should never think that responding to the calls to be faithful, responding to the calls to fight injustice, responding to the call to make the world a better place is somebody else's job. Just like our children's message is here, we all are responsible for making this world a better place. It's not enough for us to just sit on the sideline and just to say, "Oh, I wish the world was a better place." What are we doing individually to indeed change the tide? Now, last Sunday, they had a very gripping article in the New York Times magazine, which I was reading. It talked about prisoners who were in California, and they were working in the hospice unit of the prison. So prisoners working in the hospice unit of the prison. And we have to understand that we're talking about prisoners working with prisoners. They were all sentenced to life in prison. And these prisoners were given the opportunity to care for another. And we have to understand that all of them were never going to live again outside of those prison walls. But those who were called to be caregivers, they gave the patients haircuts. They were shaving them. They were brushing their teeth. They were assisting them on walks. And yes, they were talking with them. One of the caregivers, remember, this was a person who was an inmate himself, he said that this experience was life-giving for him. He was quoted as saying, "I'm just returning something that I did not get as a child. All I wanted was kindness and to be held as a boy. And now I get to do that for someone else." My friends, no matter what our station is in life, know that we can still be a hero to another. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Yes, we honor our military heroes on weekends such as this, and that is most appropriate. We also remember those persons who have been heroes in our own lives. Parents, siblings, teachers, friends, Sunday school teachers, pastors, session members, deacons, others who have meant so much to us. And may we also take some time to consider ways that we can make a positive impact on the lives around us. As long as we have breath, we should be doing something positive for another. Friends, I'm reminded of a song by Mariah Carey. I know she's a little wacky at times, but girl can sing. And I leave you with these words. No, I'm not going to try to sing it because my voice is not like Mariah Carey's. It's a song called Hero. And it says, "And then a hero comes along with the strength to carry on, and you cast your fears aside, and you know that you can survive. So when you feel that hope is gone, look inside you and be strong, and you'll finally see the truth that a hero lies in you." Friends, all peace, all glory, All honor be to God on this day as we remember the heroes, both those heroes who have given their lives for us and the heroes that live inside of us. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.